reading God's word from the book of Ephesians. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 16 of chapter 4, but we'll read starting at verse 11. This is God's word. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. Well, let's pray. Our Lord and God, we rejoice that you have spoken the truth in love to us in Christ Jesus, for we know that you are gracious and that you speak the words of life. And so we ask that by your Spirit you might open our ears, open our eyes, so that we may see and hear wonderful things in your word, so we might see and hear Christ Jesus. Hear us, because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Growing up is a bittersweet thing. We enjoy and we love when our babies are little and cute and chunky and their cheeks are absurdly chubby. I'm speaking in the abstract here. I have no one particular in mind. It's so cute and we enjoy it so much when our babies are little. But we have to grow. We have to grow up, and it seems like tomorrow I'll be sending Micaiah to college. Just is the way things go. It's bittersweet to grow up, but we must. But it is never bittersweet to grow up in the Christian life. It is never bittersweet to mature and become strong Christians in the faith. We don't want to be drinking milk our whole Christian life. We want to move on to the solid food, the steak and the brisket of the Christian life. We want to grow up. You do not want a baby, or at least I hope you don't want a baby doing heart surgery on you. I wouldn't want that. You do not want an infant leading the church. It's dangerous. It's deadly. You do not want to remain children in the Christian life. In a sense, there is a child in each of us. There's an aspect that is a healthy aspect of the Christian life that is childlike. And there's part of maturity that embraces being a child, being childlike. Christ himself calls us to be children. Children in our faith, to trust God, to rely on him almost without question, just through casting ourselves upon him, that sense of wonder that comes from children, that lack of pride that comes from children. We are to be children in our faith. But there's another sense in which being childish and being children is deadly. Some of the strongest language in all of the New Testament is to the church in their lack of maturity, and their lack of growing up in the faith. We must grow up in Christ. We must mature in Jesus Christ. We need to hear that. Here's the church in Ephesus, and here we are in Rockport, Maine at Lakeview OPC, and similar circumstances. The church in Ephesus was a church at war against principalities and powers. It was a church threatened by the powers and the forces around them, surrounded by a present evil age. Here is a church up against principalities and powers, at war against the cosmic powers in our present darkness, surrounded by a sinful world and made up of sinners. What do we need to be about as the church? What does Lakeview need to be about? What is the thing that we must focus on in this world of chaos, in this present darkness? Growing up, maturing. It can be discouraging, can't it, to live in the world we live in, especially if you live online or live in the news. It can be discouraging, and it can be discouraging as we look around at the state the church is in, at the maturity and the state of the church. But what about this church? What about Lakeview here? J.I. Packer says something extremely helpful on this. He says, "The acid test of the church's state is what happens in the local congregation. Each congregation is a visible outcrop of the one church universal, called to serve God and men in humility and perhaps humiliation, while living in prospect of glory. Spirit-filled for worship and witness, active in love and care for insiders and outsiders alike, self-supporting and self-propagating, each congregation is to be a spearhead of divine counterattack for the recapture of a rebel world." I love that. That Lakeview Church is to be a spearhead of divine counterattack in a rebel world. How do we do that? By growing up. By maturing in Jesus Christ. And so there are four things that I want to draw out from this text today. And the first thing is this: remember to keep the end in view. Paul says in verse 13, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You could translate that. The verb that he uses is a verb, a travel verb, but with the end in sight, with the destination in mind. You could translate it, "until we arrive at this." That's helpful. Until we arrive at this, what are we arriving at? We are arriving at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There is one faith. There is only one faith because there is only one God. And there is only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one faith. There is only one way to go to God. It's through Jesus Christ. We don't experience that fully yet, do we? That one faith. We're divided in some ways in our faith, but there is only one faith. And we're headed there. We're headed there. When we all stand before Jesus Christ, there will only be one faith at that point. We will all hold to that one faith. It's a glorious thing. We're headed there in Jesus Christ as we hold to the one faith. Even as sin riddles us in our lives, we're headed there, the one faith. We're also headed towards the unity of the Son of God. We see in a glass darkly, don't we? We don't yet fully know. We know in part, Paul says, but one day we will see Jesus face to face. One day we will know even as we are known. That's what we're headed towards. Full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not in part, but complete in Jesus Christ. God has already made known to us the mystery of his will in Christ Jesus, but there's much more to know. And we're headed towards there. And we're also headed towards Jesus Christ himself. Paul says, until we arrive at mature manhood or full adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's an astonishing thing what we're arriving at. It's Jesus Christ himself and his fullness. Christ has all fullness in himself. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact imprint of the nature of God. He's the firstborn from all creation. He has all fullness in himself. He's complete and perfect in happiness. He is complete and perfect in full life. He is full of life. He has perfect communion in love with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he desires to fill you up. And that's what he's doing. To bring you in by grace to his level. That's what he's doing. Not to be equal with Jesus Christ, but to participate in all that he has, in all that he's doing. You will be like him, for you will see him face to face. That's our destination. That's the goal that we're working towards until then. That's what God is doing in the church. It's a glorious thing until that day. Remember the end. Remember the end. Did you remember that as you were in your chaos getting ready for church to come here this morning? Until that day. Until that day, God, Christ himself, has given us gifts. He's given us ministers, pastors, and teachers. One day, you will not need a pastor. You won't. And I will happily give that up. Because one day you will be before Jesus Christ himself in glory. Until then, though, we come to church. Until then, we sit under the ministry of the word. Until then, we do this thing called church. Remember the end. I've told this story before, I think in the Psalms of Ascent, but I couldn't quite remember. So you may not remember too. Excellent. Florence Chadwick was a swimming instructor, and she swam across the English Channel several times. In 1952, she attempted to swim 21 miles from Catalina Island off of the coast of California to the mainland of California. And the planned day that she had to swim was a foggy and a cold day. And she started swimming. She couldn't even see the boats that were guiding her, that were going along beside her. And at some point, she simply gave up. She stopped swimming, and so they were forced to pull her into the boat. She was a half mile from the mainland. 20.5 miles she swam and gave up half mile away. Her reflection on that later said, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." Keep the end in view. This is what we're going towards. This is why we're doing all of this. Because we're going to reach the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is what he's working in us now. And that's what he'll complete in us. Remember to keep the end in view. Secondly, then, as we keep the end in view, we all grow up together. All of us grow together. Listen to the language that Paul uses. Until we all arrive or attain the unity. We are to grow up in every way into him so that we are no longer children. The whole body is joined and built together. All true maturity, all true growth in Jesus Christ happens in the body of Christ. But all true maturity, all true growth happens with the body of Christ. We must remember that because it's Christ's body, and the body to grow up healthily has to grow together. Imagine if you're growing up and your leg one day decides, "I'm going to grow double." Imagine trying to play soccer with one leg twice as long as the other one. It would be impossible. The body must grow together to be healthy, to be strong, to grow up in Jesus Christ. Imagine if your eye one day decided, "I don't need the other eye." Nope. Or imagine if your arm decided one day, "I don't need the other arm," and it tricks your body to cut it off. Would you be stronger? Would you be more mature? No. The body has to grow up together to be healthy and to be mature. I think sometimes we might be tempted to think that being mature, being grown up in the faith, means that we're independent, that we're strong inside ourselves, that we're isolated from everyone else and we can stand on our own, that we can be an island on our own. Or that we could grow up better without everyone else. All of you, you're all slowing me down. I could grow up so much faster if I didn't have all of you surrounding me. Or we think we could grow up better without the church, that I'm beyond all of that church stuff. I don't need any of that stuff. I can grow up far faster. I'm on a higher level than you are, and I can grow up faster without any of you. That's not the body. That's not the body. Or, dangerously, we can think that we simply don't need to grow. I'm saved. I'm already in Jesus Christ. It's just the good old simple gospel, right? Yes, it is the good old simple gospel, but we need to grow up in the gospel. We need to mature in Jesus Christ, and we do that together. That means that your individual growth, that your maturity, that your sanctification matters for the church. It doesn't mean that we are sanctified outside of the church, but it means that your personal maturity, your individual growth matters for the church. Paul says, when each part is working together, when each member is striving to be holy, to be sanctified, to grow up in the faith, your personal, individual growth matters for the whole body. It also means that everything we do is for the good of the body. Listen to what Calvin says. So if we wish to be considered in Christ, let no man be anything for himself, but let us all be whatever we are for others. It's beautiful, isn't it? Everything that we do must be for the good of the body. It also means that Christ gives you grace for the whole body. Christ has shown you grace for the sake of the body, to build up the body in Jesus Christ. In verse 16, Paul says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. That's how the whole body is healthy. Every joint that God equips the body with helps the whole body. It takes every saint to enjoy every gift of Christ. He's given you some gift. He's given you some other gift so that all together the body comes together, puts all of those gifts together, as it were, so that Christ is fully glorified and Christ is fully enjoyed, and that all of his gifts are working together for the sake of the body. Christ himself is the one who knits and holds together the body, and he supplies for the body with the body. Isn't that an incredible thing? That he provides for us with us, which means that Christ gives you what you need here in the church. It also means that he gives others the gifts that you need. That's one of the ways that he knits us together, that he holds us together, that someone else has the gift that you need. That changes how we think about the church, isn't it? How we live in the church. This also means that we are given good conditions to grow up. The world does not provide for us good conditions to grow up. Everything in the world around us tempts us to be immature. We do not have good growing up conditions in the world, but Christ gives us good growing up conditions in the church. He gives us the ministry of the word. He gives us pastors and teachers to equip us. He gives us the body so that the body together builds itself up in love. We have good conditions to grow up in the church. That changes how we live in the church, doesn't it? We all are to grow up together in Jesus Christ, which means, thirdly, that we have to leave behind childish ways. It doesn't feel good to be called a child, doesn't it? Or to be called childish. It cuts deep. So is that what Paul is doing? He says, so that we no longer are children. Does that, Paul, are you calling us children? Maybe. Maybe he is. But notice what he says. We all. He's including himself in that. He's including himself in this until we all are no longer children. This is the gospel viewpoint. Not that I have already obtained it or am already perfect, but pushing on, striving on, reaching out to attain that perfection in Jesus Christ. There's always a part of us that is childish, isn't there? There's always more that Christ can do to sanctify us and to make us grow up and to mature. And so what does it look like to be children? Well, it looks like being a whirligig. A whirligig. One of the commentators used that word, and I immediately said, that's my favorite word. Whirligig. I had no idea what it meant. No idea. A whirligig. A whirligig is, I looked it up, the things that you find out in sermon preparation can just be astonishing. A whirligig. A whirligig is one of those decorations that someone will put out in the lawn or on the top of a house that spins. Anything, any decoration sort of thing that has spinning things on it, basically. A spin wheel or pinwheel might be something similar. A whirligig. To be children is to be a whirligig. A whirligig is unstable, completely vulnerable to the wind, right? Listen to how Paul describes it. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The wind comes and there it goes spinning. A whirligig. No control, no stability, no anchor holding down secure. Every new theological fad, every new teaching drives this person around, tosses them around like the waves. They have absolutely no stability, no anchor, or no balance. Often error is simply an imbalance or an overreaction to something. And this happens in two directions. It can happen in following every fresh new teaching. And following every new theological fad, every new thing that you learn, every new thing that you read on Facebook. But it can also come by being driven by things you disagree with. You can be so driven and controlled that you actually have no positive content, that you're simply a negative echo of the things you disagree with. That can be a whirligig too. Being tossed around by every error, every false teaching. And what's at the heart of this? What's at the heart of this wind blowing us around? It's human cunning. The word that Paul uses for cunning there is cubeia, which is where we get the word cube from. It was dice. And so it became acquainted with trickery, with loaded die. It's human trickery. It's craftiness. This word was used for someone who would do anything to accomplish their task, in a good sense or in a bad sense, that they would do absolutely anything to get what they wanted. So in the end, it became acquainted with someone who had a high sense of themselves, someone who highly valued themselves, who thought that they had the secret to success, that they had the teaching that you need to succeed in life. But the emphasis in both of these things, in human cunning and in craftiness, is that they're both merely human. That they are not from God. They're simply the teachings of humans, the wisdom of man, the stuff that has the appearance of godliness but lacks any of its power, that has nothing from God. They're deadly, and they lead to shipwreck. That's why maturing and growing up is so vital for us, that these things are deadly. We don't want to be whirligigs. We want to be anchored. We want to be guarded, secure, held fast against false teaching, against everything that would draw us away from Jesus Christ, that would draw us away from grace. Because you'll notice that that's always what's lacking in false teaching. It's grace. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. It's the love of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. We don't want to be whirligigs, do we? It's deadly. What does, then, putting behind childish ways look like? Well, it looks like living from Christ and being rooted in Jesus Christ as the church. That's the last point, that we must live from Jesus Christ, that we must live to Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. I tried to come up with a succinct way to make that point, but Paul just loads on his language: from Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, unto Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Paul says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying, that the church, that we, must be rooted in Jesus Christ. Earlier on, he says in verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. See that emphasis, that it's into him, it's from him, it's in Christ. There's some debate if Paul here in verse 15 is speaking specifically about officers in the church. What he talked about as pastors and teachers, as apostles and prophets, is that who Paul is saying is to speak the truth in love? I don't think so. The context in these verses is we all with every joint that is built, that the church is built together. We all building the church up in love. So I don't think it's only the special officers, but it still includes the ministers. There's a contrast here. The false teachers use trickiness, craftiness, simply merely human teaching, but the minister must not use those methods. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning, the same word that's translated here, craftiness. We refuse to practice craftiness or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Imagine if I or Pastor Tracy had some hidden agenda with you. Imagine if we had some strange teaching that we're trying to sell to you. Imagine if we functioned everything on the basis of the bait and switch, that we're going to lure you in and then we're going to switch things on you. Trickery, craftiness. Imagine we had some cunning method to manipulate you with. Or imagine that the elders here were whirligigs. That they, this session is a bunch of whirligigs. It's just the best word. Imagine if your session were whirligigs, driven around by every new teaching, every new thing that they read, they follow, they go with, they run with, and they try to bring you along. It happens sometimes to elders that they get caught up in something and they bring the whole church down with them. The church won't grow if the ministers, if the elders are not rooted and grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ. But it's not only the ministers and the elders who are to speak the truth in love. We all are to speak the truth in love. What is the truth? In chapter 1, Paul says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. That's the word of truth. the gospel of your salvation. That is the truth. It is the word of God revealed in Jesus Christ. It is the truth of the gospel. And as we have it here written for us, if you go beyond that truth, you won't grow. If you go beyond the word of God, you won't grow. If you go beyond the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you won't grow. That is the truth. If you go beyond the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you won't grow. Listen to Hebrews 13:9. Do not be led astray by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by what? By grace. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. That is the truth. And we must speak the truth in love. We need both. You cannot be all truth and no love. But you can't be all love and no truth either. They must be together. Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, has some extremely helpful things about speaking the truth in love. He says first that in order to speak the truth in love, we must learn the ministry of holding our tongues. I love that. We must learn the ministry of holding our tongues. There is a lot that we would like to say that we should not say. Secondly, we must learn to listen with attentiveness and care. If we're not truly listening and caring, we won't be able to speak the truth. Often you hear speaking over someone. I think more commonly, we listen over someone. We don't actually listen to what the person is saying. We simply listen to what we want to hear. And so we're never actually speaking the truth into that situation, into the need that they have. We must learn to listen. But thirdly, we must speak the truth in love. There's all kinds of dangers, Bonhoeffer says, that come with speaking the truth. We can speak the truth without love. Maybe you've had that happen to you before. Maybe you've done that before where you've spoken the truth angrily, out of anger, that you've spoken the truth in impatience, without helping. Often we can speak the truth, but never actually help. And so we can speak the truth without love. But there's also the danger of talking too much or of talking too little. And then there's the danger of the fear of the other person. What will they think? How will they react to speaking the truth? But we must. We must speak the truth in love. What basis do we have to do that? This is what Bonhoeffer says. The basis upon which Christians can speak the truth to one another is that each knows the other as a sinner, who, with all his human dignity, is lonely and lost if he is not given help. What basis do we have for speaking the truth? Because we are sinners. I am a sinner. I need the truth spoken to me in love. You are a sinner. You need the truth. And you need the truth in love. We come to one another as sinners who need the truth in love. So we must speak the truth in love. And as we do that, we will grow up from Christ and in Christ in every way. It's our connection and our communion with Christ here, that's everything. If we are not united to Christ and living in communion with him, we won't be able to speak the truth in love. The body won't be built up in love. Christ is the head. Christ is the life source of the church. In him, the church is knit together and held together. In him, we receive grace upon grace. Every growth, every gift, every grace that we receive is from Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of ways I think we could approach growing up and becoming mature. But there is no other way that we mature than in Jesus Christ, than from him, than unto him. He has the riches of grace to shower upon sinners. He has the above and beyond power. Remember the superhero name, the Hooperballon Megathos power. I'm going to keep using it until Marvel catch on. The Hooperballon Megathos, the surpassing above and beyond power at work in us. He has it. He has the words of life. He is the one who speaks to us in truth and in love. And so we have all fullness in him. We have the forgiveness of our sins, the redemption from sin and death, and we have true life in him, and we have true life with one another in Jesus Christ. So the question is, are you in Christ? Are you united to him? Are you living in communion with him and receiving from him and living unto him? Every part in the whole body from Christ and in Christ grows to be like Christ until Christ comes. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we rejoice in your grace to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have all things in him. And so we pray that you would help us to be rooted and grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we here in this church may build ourselves up in love, may be rooted and grounded in the truth and in the love found in Christ Jesus. Hear us because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's stand and